Around the time of the riddle lottery, Aureliano II began waking up with a knot in his throat, as if he were repressing a desire to weep. Petra Cotes interpreted it as one more of so many upsets brought on by the bad situation, and every morning for over a year she would touch his palate with a dash of honey and give him some radish syrup. When the knot in his throat became so oppressive that it was difficult for him to breathe, Aureliano II visited Pilar Ternera to see if she knew of some herb that would give him relief. The dauntless grandmother, who had reached 100 years of age managing a small, clandestine brothel, did not trust therapeutic superstitions, so she turned the matter over to her cards. She saw the Queen of Diamonds with her throat wounded by the steel of the Jack of Spades, and she deduced that Fernanda was trying to get her husband back home by means of the discredited method of sticking pins into his picture, but that she had brought on an internal tumor because of her clumsy knowledge of the black arts. Since Aureliano II had no other pictures except those of his wedding, and the copies were all in the family album, he kept searching all through the house when his wife was not looking, and finally, in the bottom of the dresser, he came across a half dozen pessaries in their original box. Thinking that the small red rubber rings were objects of witchcraft, he put them in his pocket so that Pilar Ternera could have a look at them. She could not determine their nature, but they looked so suspicious to her that in any case she burned them in a bonfire she built in the courtyard. In order to conjure away Fernanda's alleged curse, she told Aureliano II that he should soak a broody hen and bury her alive under the chestnut tree, and he did it with such good faith that when he finished hiding the turned-up earth with dried leaves, he already felt that he was breathing better. For her part, Fernanda interpreted the disappearance as a reprisal by the invisible doctors, and she sewed a pocket of casing to the inside of her camisole, where she kept the new pessaries that her son sent her. 6 months after he had buried the hen, Aureliano II woke up at midnight with an attack of coughing and the feeling that he was being strangled within by the claws of a crab. It was then that he understood that for all of the magical pessaries that he destroyed and all the conjuring hens that he soaked, the single and sad piece of truth was that he was dying. He did not tell anyone. Tormented by the fear of dying without having sent Amaranta Ursula to Brussels, he worked as he had never done, and instead of one, he made 3 weekly raffles. From very early in the morning, he could be seen going through the town, even in the most outlying and miserable sections, trying to sell tickets with an anxiety that could only be conceivable in a dying man. "Here's divine providence," he hawked. "Don't let it get away, because it only comes every 100 years. He made pitiful efforts to appear gay, pleasant, talkative, but it was enough to see his sweat and paleness to know that his heart was not in it. Sometimes he would go to vacant lots where no one could see him and sit down to rest from the claws that were tearing him apart inside. Even at midnight he would be in the red light district trying to console with predictions of good luck the lonely women who were weeping beside their phonographs. "This number hasn't come up in 4 months," he told them, showing them the tickets. "Don't let it get away. Life is shorter than you think." They finally lost respect for him, made fun of him, and in his last months they no longer called him Don Aureliano, as they had always done, but they called him Mr. Divine Providence right to his face. His voice was becoming filled with wrong notes. It was getting out of tune, and it finally diminished into the growl of a dog. But he still had the drive to see that there should be no diminishing of the hope people brought to Petra Cotes' courtyard. As he lost his voice, however, and realized that in a short time he would be unable to bear the pain, he began to understand that it was not through raffled pigs and goats that his daughter would get to Brussels. So he conceived the idea of organizing the fabulous raffle of the lands destroyed by the deluge, which could easily be restored by a person with the money to do so. It was such a spectacular undertaking that the mayor himself lent his aid by announcing it in a proclamation, and associations were formed to buy tickets at 100 pesos apiece, and they were sold out in less than a week. The night of the raffle, the winners held a huge celebration, comparable only to those of the good days of the banana company, and Aureliano II, for the last time, played the forgotten songs of Francisco the Man on the accordion, but he could no longer sing them.